This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Caroline and Uma with you on the evening edition. Our next story is about emojis, or rather the importance of having emojis that are representative of people with disabilities.
Yep, so Apple submitted a proposal for 13 new emoji. Do you know that the plural is emoji and not emojis?
I know, it's so difficult to say. It's like the plural of Lego being Lego.
Yeah, but it's so weird. 13 new emoji to the Unicode Consortium, of course. This was a couple of weeks ago. They include very exciting prosthetic arm and leg, hearing aids, as well as people using sign language and a wheelchair.
Also a guide dog.
Yeah, they were very well received, although several people in the community did point out that these are just a starting point because, you know, obviously when you look at the diversity that exists among disabilities, it represents part of it, but well, not all of it, right?
So, I mean, this is a great starting point, right? Because emoji has, in essence, become this other language. And so you need to then have the vocabulary, right? So remember when they released multicolored emojis to represent their skin tone?
Yep.
You in particular, Caroline, enjoy the brown thumbs up?
I do. Yes, it's cuter than any.
It is cuter than the other ones. I think so, too. And so that was one step. And then they started introducing same-sex couple emojis as well. So, I think it's a step in the right direction.
And doing it in a meaningful way. So Apple worked with the Cerebral Palsy Foundation,
right,
as well as the American Council of the Blind and National Association of the Deaf to develop these. You know, this is why it's important, right? The details, because the emoji includes a person with a white cane. So this is the universal symbol for the blind.
Correct.
Instead of a person wearing sunglasses, which is more of that stereotype, right? So having a white cane.
Also, it could just be like the smiley face looking cool with the sunglasses.
That's right.
You've got to distinguish.
That's right. So having a white cane emoji can also help educate people about what the cane means. So, you know, drivers can pay more attention if they see someone using one. It brings awareness to the diversity of people. But these sort of details matter. This is where it can go horribly wrong if you don't work with the right people.
Well, it can go horribly wrong also if people start misusing the emojis, right? Which you're not going to, which is unavoidable, right?
I was just going to say, you're not going to avoid that. Yeah.
Because God knows the tarong is not a tarong when it's sent out to people.
I like the peach.
That's exactly, right?
Yeah.
They just become too tools for sexting. It's crazy. No, but I used to be one of those people who were really kind of snobbish about emojis.
Okay, fine. I was worried launched. That this was going to go in a different direction. Snobbish about emojis.
When it was first launched, right? But
well, you were snobbish about using emojis?
I was, only because I felt that, you know, people were using it to replace language.
Ah.
And then I was like, oh, what's happening to our language? Look at all these young people. But the more, I guess, studied emoji and the more I looked into it, I realized actually it's a really fascinating tool for communication because it means different things to different people, right?
Yeah.
And sometimes we communicate using emojis.
And only emojis.
And only emojis, but also that meaning is private to us.
Yeah, that's
right. I think that's wonderful.
I think it is as well. So when it comes to these new emoji, not emojis, you've been saying
sorry,
emoji.
Sorry.
Yeah.
I know we're going to get an email about that.
You know,
apologize.
It's influencing me at the same time. There are some shortcomings in that, you know, there are certain disabilities that are largely invisible and that makes it difficult to illustrate for exactly that reason, right? Any sort of chronic illness or psychiatric disabilities, developmental disabilities. So we know that disability doesn't just look one way. It doesn't just feel one way. It doesn't manifest in one way in somebody's body or mind. So expanding that definition of disability, I guess, is going to be challenging.
Yeah, it should not stop with this. It just should be, I guess, the first step in that right direction, right? And then it just continues progressing with more research and conversation. Now, to one of those conversations we're about to have is with Culture Pop's Matt Armitage, our tech maestro. Matt, always good to have you on the show. Emoji started off as facial expressions, right? The classic semicolon, close bracket smiley.
I still use that sometimes.
I still do. Yeah. It's probably what we're most familiar with. It feels, however, like a world away. Now, how did we even get here where we're discussing diversity in emoji?
Well, it's quite simple, really. If there's enough space, why not do it? There's no reason not to do it. All these things are is little characters that need to be recognized by the group that approves Unicode characters. So there's no real reason not to do it. We've seen emojis kind of blossoming over the last probably sort of 5 to 10 years. As you said, it started off with these kind of very simple smiley faces, but it's become a much more expressive language of its own. And it's kind of driven by user popularity. If people weren't using these characters, then there wouldn't be this demand to add more and more characters and add this kind of richness to the language that you can create with these images.
Yeah, but people have called emojis the second language, right, on our phones. How would you explain how emoji, here we go again, isn't it?
I said emoji,
have evolved into a language of their own.
When you're using devices like phones, it's not like in the old days of sending someone a letter or even like sending someone an email. You want to find ones that are shorter and more fun, especially when we use social media and you want to kind of spice up the way that you comment on people's posts or the way that you embed information in your post. So it's just a fun way to express yourself in that sense. And it has caught people's imagination. And when things catch people's imagination, you can't really keep control of how that language develops. When you look at countries like France, which actually have a government department to come up with new French words and stop people from using especially anglicized terms, new slang terms, people tend to ignore that. They tend to use the terms and the phrases and the language forms they want. And especially when you look at these digital forms, writing is kind of an anachronism when we come into this kind of medium, because we have all of these ways of sending voice messages to each other. If you look at things like WhatsApp, you can very easily just send a voice burst message to someone. So you don't have to write anything at all. So people will always find the form of language that they're most comfortable expressing themselves in, and then they're going to use that.
You know, I do wonder whether laziness has much to do with it. Like, if you could just record a message, go blah, and that expresses everything.
For me, I often do that and then send it over to you via WhatsApp. Now, Matt, languages carry the cultures of the people who use them. Do emojis show this trait as well?
Absolutely, because people invest whatever they want to in the terms that they use. So, as you said, you will find people who use slang terms in any kind of language and parlance. English is particularly rich in slang terms and in customization from different countries. But all languages do that to a certain extent. And I don't think emojis are any different. People will give the characters the expression that they want to give them. And whether that's done as a way of excluding an older generation from understanding what a younger generation is talking about, or whether it's just part of cultural shifts, these things just change and develop. It's not something I think we should fear. And really, I don't think it's something that we really need to discuss too much.
Okay, get the hint. you know, Matt, a while ago, we talked about this just, right? They introduced all these different skin tones in emoji in an effort to be more inclusive, more diverse. Now, I remember that that was met with a bit of controversy, although we seem to have come through that, weathered it quite well. This isn't exactly the same scenario, I know, but is there a way to avoid the same sort of pitfalls with this attempt at diversity?
Well, again, this is just a starting point for the people with disabilities. It represents, I think there's something like 13 new characteristics, and it certainly doesn't represent everybody, because there are hundreds, if not thousands, of variations on the theme of disabilities. So just in the same way that emojis don't represent every single person on Earth, they're not going to be representative of everyone with disabilities at this point. So you have to come to a certain balance. You have to look for things that don't reinforce stereotypes, especially if a lot of these things may appear to come from a very white European perspective. So you look for things that are going to be inclusive and representative, but at the same time, you don't want to introduce so many characters that emoji keyboard becomes largely useless, because you don't want to open it up and there's 500,000 characters there, because you'll spend all day trying to look for the ones that you want. So there is a balancing act to be done there, but certainly we have plenty more room for, I think, more disabilities and more representation of different types of people to come through into that emoji board.
All right, Matt, thank you so much for your thoughts. That was CulturePop's Matt Armitage here. More of him on Tech Talk with Jeff Sandhu every Friday at 10 a.m. And I totally agree, Caroline. My entire emoji board is full of mocha brown characters just like me.
Oh,
just like
sweetie.
Me. Thank you very much for tuning in to the Evening Edition.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.